tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. I'm your host, Joe Boris. It's July 3rd, 2024. Obviously, being July 3rd, a lot of you have fun festivities and vacation days to burn up later this week. So we're going to get right to it, starting with Tesla. Tesla released a big software update with more music options and more. This is a great article from Fred that goes into explicit detail on some of the new features that have been wrapped into this new Tesla software update, including YouTube Music, Amazon Music, parental controls, navigate to sub destinations, and weather forecast and air quality. Now, there's a whole bunch more, and Fred goes into a lot of great details on this in the article. So you definitely want to check that out. But I love this idea of the sub destinations. This has always been something that I've really appreciated using apps like Chargeway or using Google Maps instead of Apple Maps. So the ability to add this in is really going to make a difference to people who are Tesla drivers and Tesla owners. And I can't wait to see more of that. In other Tesla news, Fred asked the question, is Tesla's energy business finally boosting the stock? Now, Tesla has very famously said over and over again, they're not a car company. They're an energy company. They're a tech company. They are an AI company. They're always about being something bigger and larger, with the stated mission being to get the world off of fossil fuels and away from fossil fuel vehicles. Now, Tesla's stock is surging right now. Fred's absolutely right. The stock is up 5%, 10%, I think now 15% over where it was just a few days ago. And a significant contributor to that surge could be the company's energy business. Now, as Fred points out here in the article, solar deployment has decreased since Tesla acquired SolarCity, but the energy storage business, that best battery energy storage business, has consistently increased over the last decade, especially since Tesla launched the Megapack. Despite this consistent increase, energy has remained a small part of Tesla's overall revenue, which still mostly comes from its automotive business. But despite the fact that deliveries are down year over year yet again, their stock has been surging since the last earnings report. So I think the question he's asking is very reasonable. Is the market starting to price in energy generation, energy storage in a way that we haven't seen before, especially now that there seems to be more of an appetite for these kind of projects from major utilities and from federal funding? Remains to be seen, but I think it can only be good news, not only for the utility grids at large, but also for Tesla and Tesla investors as well. One automaker that doesn't have to deal with slowing sales is Ford. Just like we discussed yesterday when we talked about GM breaking EV sales records, Hyundai breaking EV sales records, Kia breaking EV sales records, EV sales are up just about everywhere. And Ford's EV sales climbed up 61% in Q2, carrying the automaker's overall growth. Ford sold 44,100 electric cars in the first half of 2024. That's a 72% jump from the 25,709 it had sold at this time last year. The growth is enough for Ford to stay on top of GM in the U.S. market. GM delivered 21,930 EVs in Q2 for a total of 38,000. That makes Ford the number two selling EV brand in the U.S., just behind Tesla. But look at these numbers. Mustang Mach-E sales are up 58%. F-150 Lightning sales are up 78%. And the E-Transit, those numbers are up a staggering 116% year over year. Now, these are established models. None of these models made their debut last year. These are all vehicles that have been around for at least a few years now. They've kind of gone through their first cycle already. You're starting to see a few secondhand models. But this is the kind of thing that shows that there is no EV demand slump. With aggressive rates, with proper discounts, and selling them at competitive prices rather than at exorbitant dealer markups, these products do move, and we're excited to see it. Now, we mentioned again, GM is doing great with its EVs, but it might have a hard time leasing some of those EVs, especially the Silverado EV. Now, the reason I say that is because of this article from Michelle Lewis, the 2024 Chevy Silverado EV leases out for more than the cost of two Rivian trucks. The folks at Cars Direct reported a Chevy bulletin sent to dealers that lists the Silverado EV at $1,449 a month for 39 months, with $5,679 due at signing. That's for the RST trim based on an MSRP of $96,495 with a destination and 10,000 miles per year. That makes the effective cost of the lease $1,595 a month before taxes and fees. Now, comparing that to leasing two Rivian trucks, the 2024 Rivian R1T Adventure. I'm trying really hard to pronounce that correctly, you guys. Be nice in the comments. You know who you are. Leases for $581 for 36 months with $7,471 at signing, or $789 a month. That's for the dual motor, large battery pack with an MSRP of $75,000. So if you leased two R1T Adventures, you'd spend $17 less a month than for a single 2024 Silverado RST. Now, there's a whole lot to unpack here, right? We're talking about a top of the line, nearly $100,000 pickup truck on the Chevy side. We're talking about two not necessarily the most utility friendly vehicles with a smaller bed, lower payload on the Rivian side. But if you're using this for what 99% of people are going to use this for, which is to drive around town, occasionally put some stuff from Home Depot in the back, maybe use it for work now and again as a contractor or GC, it's really going to be hard to make a case that you should go for that Silverado or for the Rivian. Now, a ton of reasons to do that. Silverado is a great vehicle. We have a ton of respect for that. I've driven them. The few that I've checked out have been just top quality, and I really, really like that truck. But do I like it twice as much as a Rivian? That's a tough call. Definitely head down to the comments and let us know which one of those you're going to buy, or which two of those you're going to buy if you're leaning towards that persuasion. Now, the Silverado and the Rivian aren't the only electric trucks we're going to be talking about. Bluebird has been doing incredible numbers with its electric glider chassis, most of those being picked up as electric school buses. And the headline here, EV sales slump. Nobody told Bluebird their stock is soaring. Now, I took some heat for this headline. I want to make sure that we're on the same page here. There is a belief out there in the automotive world, in the social media world, that EVs are rotting on dealer lots, that they're not moving quickly. And that's being perpetuated primarily by auto dealers who don't know how to sell EVs, who continue to try to sell EVs the same way they've always sold gas cars, or worse, actively highlight the shortcomings of EVs while emphasizing the advantages or perceived advantages of internal combustion. So a lot of this seems to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Dealers that don't believe in EVs tend to have a hard time selling them, in the same way that guys who really love Harleys aren't always that good at selling Hondas. It's kind of one of those things. But the people who get it, the people who understand it, the people who can see the benefits of electrification, they are all over it, and Bluebird is doing great. Now, I took a little bit of a jab at GM here, because Bluebird stock is up more than 100% over the past 12 months. In fact, it's up almost 100% just this year. But Bluebird is doing this at the same time that other EV stocks like Polestar, other SPAC stocks like Nikola, and especially, you know, defunct companies now like Fisker, are kind of raising the question as to whether or not any EV stock can do well. Well, obviously, Bluebird's is performing, and it's doing so on the back of EVs. And I put that little jab at GM here where it says, take notes, GM. This is how it's done. Bluebird is raising its stock price while it's paying arguably better than most of its competitors, certainly most of its non-union competitors, and in the South, because Bluebird's in Georgia, that is certainly something to be considered. And it also is doing this with higher costs than other bus makers because it's emphasizing safety and including some standard safety features that other bus companies don't have. So higher costs, higher labor costs, higher overhead costs, higher material costs, still more profitable, doing great, relying on the fundamentals, taking advantage of those incentives and incentive layering opportunities that are out there. This is how it should be done, not the way that GM is doing it. And how is GM doing it? If you forgot, a couple of weeks ago, I wrote this article. GM had $6 billion in cash. It could have spent that on next generation EVs. It could have written every single one of its 46,000 UAW employees a check for $150,000. It could have done a whole lot of good for communities like Flint, Michigan, and Detroit that have given so much to it over the years. But instead of any of those things, it took the absolutely sickening and offensive choice of having a multi-billion dollar stock buyback to pad the wallets of the shareholders. Now, of course, GM has a fiduciary obligation to work in the best interest of its shareholders, but I would argue and did argue that it had a greater responsibility to the long-term profitability of the company, and that that should be where its fiduciary responsibilities lie. In order to keep GM sustainable, make sure GM is still providing dividends and profits 10, 15, 20 years from now, that money should have gone into developing next generation, competitive, affordable EVs. Definitely go down and take a look at that article. That's from June 14th. 98 other people told me what they thought of it. Maybe you will too in the comments here. Now, as I said before, it is July 3rd. We're all heading into a long weekend, and that to a lot of people means boating. And the good news is Candela has begun deliveries of its premium Polestar powered flying electric boats. Now, obviously the boats don't fly. They're not airplanes, but they are hydrofoils. They lift the body up out of the water. It's an incredible feeling of weightlessness, of speed, of silence, because they're significantly quieter than, especially on an electric one, than a conventional hull boat that lifts up out of the water. These are really great boats, and you're going to see some of these in lakes and rivers around Europe, I imagine, throughout the summer. Probably not so many here on 4th of July weekend. Another one that you're definitely not going to see 4th of July weekend is the Maserati Tridente. This is another all-electric luxury boat. This is something that Scooter Dahl got a chance to go to Italy and ride around in. He's got a great video article of this. You definitely want to go check it out. But just look at this thing. Now, granted, these are press shots. These are renderings, not even of the real thing. But just look at how gorgeous this is, especially in that rose gold. The way that they've done the interior on this, the way that they've done the dashboard. This is a very modern take on a speedboat. They're not looking backwards. They're definitely looking forwards, even though it's got that classic Riva, Chris Craft sort of proportion. They did a really beautiful job with this, and I wish more than anything that I was taking this thing out on Lake Michigan this weekend to have a blast. And speaking of blast, if you've got 10 fingers right now, let's make sure you come back Monday with at least 9 of them. And if you like what you heard here today, be sure to like and subscribe. And if you didn't, like and subscribe anyway. Let's fight it out in the comments. Have a great weekend.